Hello, hello. I'm Malik.
I'm Jamie.
And this is World Gone Wrong, where we discuss the unprecedented times we're living through.
Can your manager still schedule you for night shifts after that werewolf bit you?
My ex-boyfriend was replaced by an alien body snatcher, but I think I like him better now.
Who is this dude showing up in everyone's old pictures?
My friend says the sewer alligators are reading maps now.
When did the kudzu start making that humming sound?
We are just your normal millennial roommates processing our feelings about a chaotic world in front of some microphones.
World Gone Wrong, a new fiction podcast from Audacious Machine Creative, creators of Unwell, a Midwestern Gothic mystery. Learn more at audaciousmachinecreative.com.
Find World Gone Wrong in all the regular places you find podcasts.
I love you so much. I mean, you could like up the energy a little
you
bit.
You could up the energy.
I actually don't take notes.
That was good.
I'm just kidding. You sounded great.
So did you.
People of Earth, hi. It's a rough time for your planet right now, and I should know, I've seen a lot of planets. One might even ask, why spend 40 minutes to an hour, depending on how quickly Matt gets tired of shouting, in a fantastical land? I've been asking for almost 6 years. The forces behind this fake broadcast even discussed taking a short break, to which I said, who would notice? In the end, we hope you find the strength to keep doing what you can to make your world a more equal and charitable one for all, until you're better able to jump multiverses without all the indigestion. This is the one world you've got, and it needs you. And if ever you need a break to recharge, we'll be here. So on behalf of myself and all the less talented artists who create this very fake podcast, let's join together, sit back, and enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is everything you need to know. About 5 years and a few months ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal that I use to upload a podcast chronicling our quest to defeat the Dark Lord. But a small addendum to that, there's been an earthquake and everyone in Foon is trapped in small little sections of land. And so we are now recording the podcast remotely via the magic of Rune. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host. He's usually, to me, a talking badger, but I don't know what he is this week. It's Chunt the Talking.
Oh, yeah, I'm a little water wolf.
A little, you're a, what?
You're, you know, a water wolf. You're, a sea wolf.
A sea wolf?
Yeah.
I've heard of an air wolf, but what is a sea wolf?
I thought you said on Earth there's all teen wolves.
Well, there's at least two teen wolves on Earth, the greatest of all the wolves.
Well, a water wolf is, how do I explain this to someone of your mental capacity?
Okay. So I can understand a lot, as you're saying.
Okay, yeah, a water wolf or a sea wolf is a wolf made of water. Does that make sense?
Made of water. That's not, but to look at you, you're made of water.
Mm-hmm.
You I know you like to say get wet. You did, you got
yeah,
wet.
Got
you
wet.
Are wet.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you heard my howl, but I went, ow.
Oh, that's a very
should have been
wet.
A telling sign, but I, yeah. It seemed like you glossed right over it.
Yeah, it's just, I guess I heard it, but I didn't want to point it out in case it was a weird personal problem.
But I'm feeling good. It feels so weird to be made of water. And I've been brainstorming. You know, I've been a water wolf for a while now, a couple days, and I thought about opening up not just a new restaurant, right, but a karaoke place called Howl at the Foon.
Okay, I got a couple questions. I'm going to really parse that sentence.
Do we have time?
You know what? I'm going to make time. First of all, a karaoke. What is karaoke?
Oh, while you make time, I'm going to make water.
You know, and a carrot when it's aged in oak barrels over time. Sometimes you take a wine and you age it in a barrel or a fine spirit. And then once that barrel is done, you put carrots in there and you go, oh, these wonderfully oaked aged carrots.
And typically when you bite into one, they're so good, you just want to sing about it.
You just want to sing out loud.
But you want to sing safely, so you want to sing a song that's already existing. You don't want to make up a new song.
Oh, sure, yeah. And you're going to name this place Howl at the Foon?
Mm-hmm.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Oh, ooh, thank you for giving me respect, finally.
Well, you know what? We don't really talk about this, but you've been judged. Right? Well, you have been judged.
Not guilty of being a bad friend.
Okay, good. You're not guilty of being a bad friend.
Aw.
Oh, and listeners also heard my other co-host, Usador the Wizard.
That's right. I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiangalak, the dwarves know me as Zonin and Hookstanges, and I am known in the northeast as Gasmuinius Maystar, and there may be other secret names. Oh, that if air uttered aloud, there would be the most melodious singing, already known and familiar to thee. I shall be thine very backing track.
So are you suggesting, Usador, you're a big, like, karaoke guy?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like to get in there and sing some of my old favorite tunes. Just name one. Just name one. I'll sing it. I don't give a shit.
I mean, I don't only know so many of the songs of Foon. I know there's Seven Dragons and a Baby... The Traveler.
The Traveler. I'll sing The Traveler.
Freebird.
The Traveler came down the road. The Traveler came down the road. Here comes the Traveler. Here comes the Traveler. Here comes the traveling man.
Yeah, music has only really advanced so much in this world. Chunt, do you have like a go-to karaoke song?
Yes. I prefer songs by Michelle Branch.
Oh.
There's a tree branch in Foon that is a singer-songwriter.
Yeah,
And she has a lot of great hits, some of which are my very favorites. Don't ask me all of them, because I'm only going to say one.
Just one?
Mm-hmm, just one. And that one is called All the Places.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm, yeah.
It's so ironic that a branch would sing about all the places. Is it a very mournful tune?
It's a bit of a dirge, but yeah, I think it's a lot of like, you know, she hasn't seen a lot of the world, so she likes to sing about what might be out there, right? She's sort of extrapolating what could be possibilities and then putting that to tune and lyrics.
My favorite branch that is a musician is Justin Timberlake, Trolls World Tour, out now, probably.
Didn't you say there's a band called The Government that has three branches on Earth?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What are those three branches?
There's the executive branch, the judicial branch, Your Honor, and also the legislative branch. I've been gone from Earth for a long time, but I have to imagine all three of those branches are still working well and as planned.
And what are some hit songs by the government? You said it's a mule that's in the government?
Yes. I have said that, and that's something I know a lot about. I will say, though, my favorite government song is I'm Just a Bill.
Huh. Pretty good. Do you want to sing any or no?
Yeah, sing a little bit of it. We'd like to hear it.
Oh,
Is it like, oh, I'm just a bill in the world? Is it kind of like that?
Yeah. What if Bill was one of us?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's pretty catchy.
I should clarify that The Traveler is not my go-to karaoke song.
Oh, I see. Oops, I did it. I'm Bill.
No, not that one. I prefer Creek by Lutehead. Because I'm a creek. I'm some water. What the hell am I flowing here? It's just a song about a creek and where it is.
Yeah, I kind of want to bring, and we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that we have made a solemn pact with each other to never start an episode over again from the beginning after we've already started. I'm mentioning that for no particular reason.
But you're considering it now.
Oh, I mean, more and more I find myself regretting that pact that we
made.
Arnie, it seems like you're shitting on us singing, but I mean, now that's what I call music, what we're singing.
Now that's what you call music, the thing you just did.
I liked that. That's what I call like music
pig.
Too.
You sound like a little pig. You have to do that at the end. Once our episode is done, you should pop up and do that your little pig impression.
That.
Bleep, bleep.
Arnie, do we have a fucking guest?
Oh, that's right. So as I said before, sometimes during the week I get on Rune and I hop around to a lot of different Rune chats and it gets weird. But I think I found an adventurer, apparently the third most famous adventurer in all of Foon. I'm actually forgetting his name. You're always good at remembering the rankings of things. Who is the third most famous adventurer in all of Foon?
Arnsworth? Arnsworth, the great knight Arnsworth?
Yeah, Arnsworth.
Oh, you've made contact with Arnsworth. I've been attempting to recruit Arnsworth into my retinue of heroes and valiant knights for many a year.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, hopefully you can do that. More importantly, I hope he's just good content. All right, so I'm gonna finger the rune on the side of this.
Hold on.
That's yeah.
Can we rephrase that?
I'm not like a magic head. I'm not like a magic-y guy.
Just say I'm casting the rune or I'm activating the rune.
Don't say you're fingering
the rune.
Why can't I just say I'm?
Have to touch the rune. Touch is fine.
I'm tired of your fingering magic.
I'm not.
Nobody's impressed by it.
I'm tired of people telling me they're tired of my fingering magic.
You're tired of that?
I've heard it too much lately.
Oh,
actually, I'm lying. I've never.
So where's Arnsworth?
I don't want to go down that road. Okay. Oh, anyway. All right. Arnsworth has been in our waiting room for about a couple hours. So let's see here. I think I'm gonna finger her the rune, and there it is. Oh, hello, Arnsworth. Sir Arnsworth?
What are we looking at here?
I just see
a beautiful cave.
I see feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see anything.
What is it? Hello?
Hello?
That's not.
Hello, Arnsworth?
I just noticed those feet aren't attached to anything. Like, they're just boots with bones sticking out.
Oh, no. The famous feet of Arnsworth. I could recognize them anywhere.
What are the most distinguishing characteristics about Arnsworth's feet?
They accomplish so many feats.
Oh, the tales they would tell if they were still connected to a tale.
But it looks like he's been defeated.
Oh, I forgot. Of course Isidore recognizes it. We never talk about it on the podcast, but he's got a real foot thing. Right?
And
somebody add that
related
to the wiki.
And I am not related to Kraptor. I'm just going to put that on the record as well.
I don't know. You bring it up a lot.
Mm.
Well, but hello. So
we heard somebody's.
Are you
somebody's
there? We heard somebody's voice. Hello. We're talking from the jewel. We're on Rune. Hello. There seems to maybe have been some kind of an accident. But worse yet, we may not have a guest for our podcast.
Which Jeff? Which gem is talking?
Oh.
Well, which of these many gems is speaking to me here?
Yes, it looks like there's quite a bit of treasure scattered about there, but there should be one with some loons illuminated upon it in a reddish hue that you would be able to recognize.
What is this over?
Oh, fuck, I see a face.
It's terrifying, but beautiful.
A dragon.
What is this?
Good sir, dragon. I am Usador.
Hello? Hello, I'm... Why are you talking to me from this stone?
Holy fuck, I've never seen anybody so unimpressed with Usidore.
Why is this gem speaking to me now? Who are all of you small, insignificant creatures?
Insignificant, how dare you? I am Usidore. Wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Trakis. The elves know me as Fiengyalak, the dwarves know me as Zodin Hookstangjis, and I'm known in the northeast as Gasmanius Maystar. You, sir, stand before a mighty wizard, though we be separated by these runes during the shattering. I say unto you, good sir dragon, that I am not to be trifled with.
Damn, and the library's closed. You've been read.
Never heard of you.
I love that.
What?
I'm so sorry. I'm Arnie. I'm from another world. Do you mind if we talk?
Don't care. I mean, yeah, sure. I've got all the time in the world. Yeah, you're
hashtag
from another
don't
world.
Know, don't care.
All of you are from another world, a world of complete insignificance to me.
Oh.
Well, what is significant to you, good Sir Dragon?
I am a dragon. Dragons are, perhaps, Foon's greatest creatures. And what is significant to us is our own business and none of yours.
Oh,
that's
damn.
That's characteristic of a dragon, is that the dragon minds his own business and expects others to mind their business.
Oh, he's so withholding, but it makes me all the more interested in him.
Mm, I hear that a lot.
I've dated so many guys like him.
Dragon, and I'm so sorry to call you dragon. I don't know if you have like a formal title or if there's some majestic name that I should address you by.
Yes, I do have a majestic name, as is true of all dragons, or was. Back when Foon had many dragons, I fear that I may be the last of my breed, which is...
Sure enough.
Fine with me, actually. No, I don't really miss...
It's true, Arnold. You see fewer and fewer dragons these days.
That's right. Well, you'll see only one dragon, which is me, the last dragon. But that's not my name. I don't go by the last dragon. I go by my given name, Derp. But I've been known for many, many millennia as Derp the Magnificent, as all the more magnificent dragons pass to the other side.
You do look, you're shimmering, and like your scales are shimmering in a lot of beautiful colors. That's it's a little nice dark over say. There. Oh, well, I'm honestly just telling you the truth. Mm. Derp, though, huh?
Derp, yeah. Dragons are renowned for having concise names. We don't have a ton of time. Didn't used to. Now I got all the time in the world, frankly.
Arnie, in Foon, Derp is a glorious, magnificent name. It's one that's very regal and holds a lot of power. It's very rare that you meet a Derp, because there's a lot to live up to when your baby's a Derp.
Oh, sure.
If you have a derpy baby, then it's got a long journey ahead of it.
He speaks the truth.
Derp, I used to know a dragon. I live next door to a Dr. Agon.
Yeah.
Did you know Dr. Agon?
I mean, by name only.
Yeah, any patients he saw never came back out of his cave, but I trust that he was a doctor of something.
Yeah, well, that's how this conversation started, I guess. You're some stone that was in the pocket of this this dumbass that I ate earlier this morning.
Oh. That was the third best adventurer in Foon, Derp.
Yeah, it was about the 14th best tasting adventurer in Foon.
Damn. Spitting hot fire. Well, Usador, you're very good with the rankings. So if he was the 14th best tasting adventurer in Foon, who moves up into that spot? Who is at 15?
Actually, now I'm very curious to hear.
Well, I suppose the next most delicious adventurer would have to be Zangleth.
Oh, Derp's taking out a scroll and a quill here.
Send him my way.
Zangleth?
Zangleth, yes. Zangleth, they are very lithe, not particularly, not a lot of meat on the bones, so it's going to be a tough meat for you. But I would prefer you didn't eat adventurers at all, if I were being perfectly honest. Why not use your great dragonly powers to help us defeat evil?
What possible self-interest could I have in helping you defeat evil?
Oh, you know, good feelings and niceness and good?
No, those are emotions that I have very carefully laid waste to in the in the great fields of mine own heart.
Oh.
I have I've used the fire of my scorn to eliminate all selflessness.
Oh.
Because I was hurt many years ago, and that's the last I want to say about it.
Oh, Derp, I know you said that's the last you're willing to say about it, but I don't even know why
I brought it up. I honestly don't.
I guess I was just going to say, do you mind if I obviously you do mind, but I'm going to ask, what happened to you, Derp? What?
No,
Derp
no,
hurt?
No, no.
Did it's someone break your derpy heart?
It's nothing that every dragon hasn't experienced. It's part of dragonness, and it's not anything that makes me special, and it's not a thing that...
Yes, of course we don't want to delve into this juicy nugget that you've laid before us. So instead, perhaps you could tell us more about the time before this terrible heartbreak, when the dragons were at their height. Those glorious days of yonder. What happened back then? What was dragonkind like?
I'm very glad that you asked. Thank you, Insignificant Wizard.
Ooh, must be one of his secret names. That must be what the dragons call you.
Usador, I think you found the key. If a hundreds of year old creature doesn't want to talk about anything, ask them about the olden times.
Hundred thousand year old.
Oh.
Beg your pardon.
Oh, yes. Dragons live an incredibly long time. And Arnie, part of the idea is if I go back a little further, we'll get up to the part with the heartbreak and find out about it.
Yeah, guys, there's no whispering in rooms.
What?
Oh, that's right.
There's no whispering in rooms.
What?
I can hear everything that you're saying.
I can hear everything you were saying.
So, Derp, tell us about the Halcyon days.
Well, I'm glad you asked because I think you probably are familiar with the legends. A lot of dragons are consumed with greed, desire to accumulate wealth.
Yes.
That was never really my thing. I was much more socially attuned.
Oh.
I felt like hoarding wealth was a sign of, I don't know, it was a misguided dragon strategy to stave off doubt and fear.
Sure.
You
it was a different time when you were a young dragon. You were like, don't trust anyone over 400 years old.
Yeah, it's true. But I've always been interested in the past, dragon past in particular. And so my hoard, I'll show you around. I mean, there are gems here, of course, but my hoard is mostly vintage dragon stuff. I've been into dragon stuff of all kinds, you know, like, sure.
What's your favorite?
Well, I loved the Age of Elves.
Oh, yes.
And the Great Wars. I have a lot of war memorabilia. A lot of mithril garments that I stripped off of dead elven folk. I have a lot of, you know, all of the dwarf stuff. Just one dwarf after another that I was picking my teeth with their shin bones. I kept all those shin bones.
Do you find that it's more of a conversation starter around the cave if you can talk about the time that you pulled it off of a dead body?
Used to be when I had people over after the last dragon went to the other, sailed off beyond the sea or whatever it was that the other dragons did, I was just sort of left with my memories and that's enough for me. I was never like a super extroverted dragon.
Oh.
Sort of a dragon that kept company by my memories and my imagination.
What happened to you? Can we go back? I just want to know a little bit more about young Derp. You know, first flying out into the world of dragons, you know, your whole, you know, millennia ahead of you, just like full of hope for the future.
Yeah, I was a pretty sporty young dragon. People said I was pretty stylish.
What was the height of dragon style at the time? Like what would you do to sort of peacock a little bit?
Oh, well, I mean, you can adorn your many scales with all kinds of incrustations and you know, the skulls of your enemies. You could, the dragon, as you can see, has many crevices and overlapping, you know, sort of scale joints.
Mm-hmm. And literal peacocks. That's where the term comes from.
He's not wrong.
It does seem like there's a couple peacock bones inside some of those crevices.
Peacocks are both delicious and extremely annoying. And so not only are their skulls great adornment, but if you cook them down, they make a wonderful broth. It's very healing.
Yum. Yeah, that sounds great, peacock.
But I also cut a fine figure. I think the lady dragons knew that I was an up-and-comer, and perhaps that was my undoing.
Oh. I think we're getting clues. I think we're getting clues about what happened to Derp.
We're getting very close to the heartbreak pod.
It's cool to hear that he was a sporty dragon and not like a scary dragon or like a baby dragon.
Or a ginger.
What?
I don't know. He's just not all red.
I can hear you. I can hear all three of you talking.
Shh. I can hear you still.
No, I'm not a ginger. My God.
Yeah. So, Derp, you know, this is just the kind of dirt I like. Yeah. You're very popular. What were some of the dragon ladies that you were popular with?
The thing is that I was, in addition to being sporty and handsome and charming, I was also a feminist.
And,
you know, I was taught by my mother dragon to let the lady dragon make the first move. And so I often waited at the side of the volcano cauldron, sporting my most elegant cloak of peacock skulls. and maintained a sort of...
I'm sweating just hearing this.
I maintained a sort of aloof demeanor because I'd read all the great novels and waited for someone to choose me, and no one ever did.
Oh. Oh.
Lesser dragons, bullies and fat dragons and other, you know, rich dragons and the sons of rich dragons, they were rude and they were impertinent, and all the lady dragons went with them and didn't appreciate me or my poetry. And so at one point or another, I decided I would live alone forever.
Huh. Guys, I think the last dragon of Foon is a fucking nerd. I mean, he's a dragon, and that's cool, but is it... He sounds like he was a nerd. I mean, and I say that from experience, because it sounds a lot like me.
And I'm going to be perfectly honest. I've seen other dragons. I think he thinks he's the last dragon because he's just, like, locked up in this cave. And he hasn't seen anybody, except for the adventurers he eats from time to time.
No, I am the last dragon of Foon. I can hear you.
Ah, gosh.
If there were any other dragons in Foon, I would know them. I knew all the dragons of Foon. Name a dragon. Name a single dragon of Foon.
Well, I named Dr. Aegon, and you said you just knew him by name.
Well.
What about Vertarilax?
Yeah, what about Vertarilax? Or what about Finicky Josh?
All these dragons are gone. They've all moved on to... They all went away to college. They all are living in other towns now.
Wait. You lost track of them before college? Derp, you said that they all sailed beyond the sea.
Yes, went away to college beyond the sea. I'm the last dragon of Foon.
I see. Derp, it's quite understandable. You seem very happy here, though, in your own way. You've created your own life for yourself. Anything else that you still desire?
Right. I am very happy. I don't need all the things that other dragons seem to need, weaker dragons, lesser dragons, like company or friends or hugs or touch. I get plenty of touch from the adventurers that pummel my nose as I gobble them down to their boots. That's all the touching I need. I feel those punches as sweet caresses.
Huh. Derp, are your eyes watering, or what's going on over there?
That is just normal dragon eye cleaning. It's normal eye cleaning. Dragons have very sanitary eyes.
So Derp, you mentioned before your poetry, and I noticed behind you there's some scrolls and some giant quills, and I don't know if it's poetry or you're working on a book. Mm-hmm. Like, are you writing anything these days?
It's nice of you to ask. I'm always working on something. Right now, I kind of left my poetry behind a little bit. I'm working right now on a monograph about the history of carts.
The history of carts?
Ooh.
This guy's a fucking nerd.
In my experience flying over Foon, I admired carts of many shapes and sizes. You've probably noticed carts are one of the main means of transportation, and there are so many elegant designs, creative carts, big carts, little carts. I especially like big carts. I collect carts. You'll see here around my lair many, many different carts that I've gobbled up the occupants and then carried the cart back.
Yeah, and I see sort of I can barely see on the back wall of your cave, you've sort of also painted. There's a bunch of paintings of carts that you've made.
Thank you.
And there's sort of like you've painted yourself on the carts, driving them, and you wrote vroom vroom, which I don't even know what that would possibly mean.
Sure, that's dragon talk.
What does vroom vroom mean? And what does that I don't speak dragon, unfortunately, but what does vroom vroom mean?
It's secret dragon talk.
Oh, okay.
It's dragon talk that dragons would know, and we're not interested in letting everybody just know what dragons are all about, what dragons are talking about when they ride in human carts. Or dwarf carts, or elf carts.
Sure.
The many kinds of carts. Orc carts. I can name every kind of cart.
Yeah, we noticed. Is that an elf cart over there? Tell us about that.
Oh, the elves have very fancy carts. Very lightweight carts.
Yeah, this is very fancy.
Guys, look how happy he is telling us about these carts.
I feel like he's like my dad watching the History Channel. Like, he's just in his happy place talking about these carts.
This is my oldest cart.
Oh, fun. What is that made out of? Wood?
This one's made of wood, yeah. Most of them are made of wood. Different kinds of wood, though. Birch, alder.
Fun. What's this? Is this like a model cart village over here? This track and rail over here?
Chunt, he was starting to list woods.
the larch. Elm. Mm.
Come on, Maple. Come on, Maple.
Maple?
Yes!
He said it because he can hear you. There's no whispers in here.
Shh, well, I can hear you.
As Derp continues to list woods, why don't we take a quick break while we learn more about this elf cart and his oldest cart, and we'll be right back with more...
Rosewood? More
this fucking nerd. Mm.
Now, Ani, I have to take a moment to speak with you. When Derp mentioned that he had a secret dragon word, secret dragon language, you immediately wanted to know what it was. But whenever I tell you I have secret names, you seem annoyed and you don't want to hear about them.
You just have too many. You know what I mean? Here's also the other thing. If there's a secret language, I want to know the first two words of a secret language and then never anymore. That's the thing. You've already told me secret words. I'm full up on secret words from you.
Hey, Ani.
Yeah.
Do you want to know one of my secret names?
Is there one that's like Crankleperf?
What? Crankleperf? How did you know that?
This is what's not fun about your secret names, Usador. I could like make up any random combination of sounds.
Oh, snap, Crankleperf.
Yes, exactly, Chunt. I was about to say that the three elves of the rice know me as Crankleperf.
Stop saying Crankleperf. That's a very offensive term in Dragon.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. You see, I don't speak Dragon. I know a few words here and there, like, Yazavarach.
I don't want to know what any of those words
are. Your accent is so bad, I don't even want to address it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, Derp.
No, it's impossible for you to offend me, small wizard hat.
Oh, that's a pretty big hat, actually.
Wizard hat with feet.
Oh,
damn. He is savage. Derp, do you mind if I ask, when was the last time you left your cave?
I leave it all the time. I have carts over in this in glades, and I have I think your little waterwolf friend noticed that I have a little model village that I have some carts in, various different styles of carts, and also I have I built a trail around my property that I go walk my trail and keep my trail clear.
I'm so sorry. I might be misunderstanding. Are you saying you set up like miniature villages and you walk around those and pretend that's outside?
I mean, you wouldn't consider them miniature. They're life size to you.
I mean, that's a touche. That is a fair point.
They're real carts that I've set up in, I guess you would say, a diorama.
So it's a one-to-one scale diorama.
Yeah, I just like to act out certain scenes from my own life and from history.
Oh, you know, intriguing. Can you act out one of these scenes now? This might be the heartbreak one.
Well, I'm worried we're going to get into a Welcome to Marwyn situation.
Oh, no.
Nobody knows what that is.
I don't either.
Having fun with your cart right from the start. Diorama.
Here we. I'll show you. It's like...
All right.
Giddy up. Plop, 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 plop. Whoa. Mm. Oh,
it's kind of cool, but he's also like flopping around giant horse corpses.
Oh, no.
As toys.
I love you. No, I love you. Oh, run away. I'm leaving. I don't ever want to see you again. And then
it's right.
Huh. And you're 100,000 years old?
Yeah. Give or take.
Derp.
99,000 problems. These cards came
okay. One. You took one of the ears off the wall and passed it around. Oh. Derp, I do want to ask you, now, you played with your, we'll call them toys.
No.
And you could have them do
collectibles.
Anything.
They're collectibles.
I'm sorry. You played with your collectibles, and you could have them do anything, but what you did is you had one say, I love you. You had the other one say, I'm leaving. I never want to see you again. Now, what's going on there?
Just acting out what I've seen in my experience of dealing with other creatures, humans, elves, dwarves, Nazguls. They seem to always...
Ooh, Nazguls.
They seem to always have some kind of... They seem happy, and then there seems to be some kind of fight, some disagreement where maybe one of the people underperforms or fails to meet the expectations of one of the other ones, and then they are mad, upset, storm off, and then I kill them all with fire and steal their card.
Huh. So with the Nazgul, did you steal their Nazcarts?
Oh, Nazcarts. That was used to be one of my favorite sports.
Arnie, there's a thing called Nazcarts, and what's fun about it is that these Nazguls go in a cart round and round, and every once in a while, one of them will fly out of control and fly into the audience.
Oh, is that the one that Jeff Gorgon is a real big...
Jeff Gorgon Jr., yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they pour milk on each other?
I hear it's very popular. Kind of not my thing.
And there's Kale Spernhart. And some more.
Wait, hold on. Kale Spern?
Rusty Warlock.
Is Kale Spernhart, is he like a piece of kale?
Kale Spernhart Jr. was really the one that I followed the most closely.
Yeah, it's a little more popular. And like I said, Rusty Warlock was one.
I'm just going to write down, because I do not want to ever forget this name. Kale Spernhart.
Well, I said Spernhart. You're saying Spernhart.
Okay.
Which is
I guess
a medical
I hear
issue.
What I want to hear.
Yeah, that's a medical issue I don't want to touch. So Derp, you said that these are things that you've seen before. And earlier you mentioned, I know we're not supposed to talk about it or ask you follow-up questions, but you said that your heart, the field of your heart has been burned.
Mm-hmm. You said I burned it.
Experience you didn't want to talk about.
I burned.
Oh, you burned it.
I burned the field of my heart to cauterize the weeds growing there. From the many sorrowful winters of my youth and my loves. Oh,
those sorrowful winters sound like long winters.
Hmm.
Were they long?
Whom.
But you're still a relatively young dragon, and you're magnificent. Why, when the light glints off you, you change every color of the rainbow. Your scales are some of the most magnificent I've ever seen. So I think if you just took off those gigantic sweatpants and went out and tried to meet someone, maybe you'd have a chance.
You are extremely...
Where do you even get sweatpants that big?
Extremely ass-kissing hat with feet.
Oh.
Now that's a secret name I haven't heard before.
Neither have I.
You are a fucking asshat.
Hey.
I would go out if there were any of my kind left in Foon. And since there are not... And since I know there to be not, what is the point? Only to be mocked and reviled by all the little weasels, asshats that roam the land.
All right.
Hey, guys, I think that Derp thinks he's the last dragon just because none of the other dragons are trying to get in contact with him.
Yeah, if people stop talking to you, it doesn't mean they're dead. I mean,
I am the last dragon. If there were any other dragons, I would know. I'm on all the dragon fora. I'm on all the dragon fauna. I know where the dragons congregate. I've been to the dragon hole. No dragons. Dragon's gone. Last dragon. Derp.
Maybe we need to model some better behavior for Derp. Here, I'll take these two sticks.
Hello, I love you.
I love you too. Mm-hmm. Now I shall transform myself into an amazing panna cotta.
Oh, I love you so much. I'll transform into the form of an eagle, and I shall drop that panna cotta into a volcano. And now
we explode.
I don't know that we're really, like, if he's looking for... I don't know if he's looking for social examples of, like, leaving the house and getting out there. I don't think we're helpful.
You don't?
I like that panna cotta story. What was that all about? Was there a card in that story?
Did you say Panacarta?
The Panacarta, which was the document that established all of dragon law.
Oh. Oh, yes, the Panacarta. Everyone knows it well. So many important rules and laws were just signed into being for the first time.
And then, I've heard about the thing that established all the rules of undead dragons, the Pandacarticon. Worth it? Maybe not. Derp, a little while ago, you mentioned that you would fly over a village and see the ways that people betrayed each other or failed to connect or never seemed to get what they want. And it seemed that there was a feeling of melancholy that you would then follow up by destroying the entire village.
I mean, I'm obligated by the laws of the Panacarta to have destroyed the village, whether or not everyone was happy or not. But I did feel a certain common cause with the sadness of men and, to a lesser extent, elves. Mm-hmm. Dwarves seemed sort of emotionally stunted. Uh-huh. And that feeling of commonality made me, I mean, not regret burning them alive and stealing their carts, but it gave me pause. It made me reflect on my own life, things that had happened to me as a young dragon.
We're right on the edge of a breakthrough.
But as with men and elves and other living creatures, I am condemned to aloneness and sorrow and my collections.
I feel like maybe you're just a dude that is afraid of putting himself out there.
I've put myself out there plenty.
Yeah, I mean, Arnie, I can see his genitals. He's not wearing clothes. He's
a dragon. Sweatpants, but they're very thin.
Yeah.
The sweatpants don't fit. They keep sliding down.
Look, I'm sorry, Derb. I don't say that with judgment. I see a lot of myself in you more than I would like to admit. Mm. Frankly, you know, you have all of these projects and artistic pursuits around your cave, and you funnel all of that energy into those things instead of just, like, flying out into the world and connecting with other real creatures.
It's too much risk. It's too hard, and it's too dangerous. There's, of all the dangers that dragons face, which are not very many because we are the most magnificent creatures and your petty human magic hardly affects us at all, but there are dangers, weather, volcanoes, and hurt, which is to say, heart hurt.
Oh, weather, volcanoes, and heart hurt are the main dangers for dragons?
Weather, volcanoes, heart hurt, famine is bad.
Good to know.
Indigestion can cause a lot of trouble for dragons. Never me, but
yeah.
As you get older,
dragon.
As you get older, it's harder to pee, which becomes like a major problem, I think, for the much older dragons, older than me. But heart hurt is the thing that has killed more dragons than any other, and I'm not willing to put myself out there again, not after what happened to me.
I mean, Derp, you do you. I don't want to, but I don't know. You're just doing these weird dioramas in your cave and not communicating with people. You're like the Harvey Darger of dragons. Like, you're creating your own weird little fantasy world there, and that's not healthy. You can't just, like, talk to make-believe characters all the time. You got to get out there and really be in the world.
No, wrong.
All right, let's just get him a sex doll.
What's this?
You know how they sell those giant dragon sex dolls?
They do?
Of course.
Weird.
Say again. They come in the mail, they're all rolled up, so you get a rolled doll, and you unfold it, and you live out your childhood fantasies. And for dragons, they have to get the BFG, which is the big fucking guy, which is the biggest model they sell.
Oh, you can also get the giant peach.
I looked into this a long time ago, and they're illegal in my jurisdiction.
You don't want to get your Willy Wonka'd? Mm.
Yeah, to be fair, I have heard that the roll dolls have a bit of a problematic past, but it's neither here nor there. It's so sad to hear that most dragons die of heartbreak.
It's the one thing people misunderstand the most about dragons. We're very sensitive to feelings. The goddesses have to put some weakness in all creatures.
Yeah.
To make us lesser than. Otherwise, I would be a god, like all dragon folk would be, if not for this one vulnerability, which is death by sadness.
Dirt, for what it's worth, I mean, we don't know you terribly well, but I love you. That's not what you want to hear back.
I mean, look, I don't want to throw the L word around, but I think you're interesting. You're definitely beautiful.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that.
You're sporty. You're stylish. These carts are amazing. Everything's well preserved.
That's nice.
You display it wonderfully. The trail around your house you kept clear.
Thank you. Thanks for noticing.
You left the feet off the adventurer you ate, much like the tail on a shrimp, which is impressive.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
you don't want to eat the feet. They've been on the ground.
Well, yeah, and the boots are crunchy. Get stuck in your teeth. I'm uncomfortable with this amount of praise. I mean, I appreciate it and I like being acknowledged, but I just feel that too much praise, and then you just are, you have an obligation. Too much praise, and then you're obligated to respond with the praise in kind, and that just starts you down a cycle of social obligation, and pretty soon you're there. You have to go over and have dinner, and then you feel like you have to have a dinner, and pretty soon, you know, just thank you for your nice, your kind words, but...
You're welcome, and I expect nothing in return.
Sure.
You talk about obligation and being, you know, discomfort. Mm. What to you, Derp, is the perfect date? If, you know, if you met someone, what would be a perfect date for Derp? Not in an idealistic, you know, uniform way, but specific to you. What's your perfect date, Derp?
I went on a perfect date once.
Ooh. Can we hear more about it?
He's just staring into the fire.
She was the leader of the most brilliant band of girl dragons.
Was that her?
No, that's just another talking stone from some adventurer that's over there. Every once in a while I say something and it just answers as though I asked it a question, and I never do.
How many stones and jewels today have tried to start a conversation with you besides us?
Oh, it happens all the time. It's one of the problems with eating adventurers. They all seem to have some magic stone or talking staff or jingle stick. Something around here making noise.
I think I'm forming a new theory about why Derp is so cranky and doesn't want to interact with people. I think he's getting a lot of robocalls. Like, he's just constantly getting people reaching out via magical rocks and stones.
Well, and people, adventurers coming around here all the time. It's like I'm on some kind of adventurer call list. They come and they see the carts and they're like, oh, well, maybe I'll come over. Ooh, look at this cart. Oh, just unattended carts all around.
Usador, can I ask, is there like there's got to be some kind of way that you can get your name taken off of the adventurer list?
I don't think so.
Well, I suppose if you started I don't have any stake in this, but if you did good and perhaps, you know, saved a village or fought off evil, then perhaps adventurers would stop trying to slay you. Did you ever think about that? Mm-hmm. There's your self-interest right there, in your face, dragon.
Do you have this vision of Foon where everyone lives in harmony and dragons are just some sort of big domestic dog who guard your petty villages and care about your stupid world other than your magnificent carts and are happy and accept dinner invitations and had a girlfriend once? Well, that's not the world, my friends.
You really have a thing against dinner.
I, for many years, lived on Soylent alone. It was all I needed. Oh. The wonderful Soylent of Foon.
Soylent, that's people.
Well, that's right. After I ate all of the members of the Soylent tribe, then I was back to having to survive on adventurers.
You know what, guys? I just had a thought. For some reason,
why are you whispering?
There's no whispering in room.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're spending all this time, like, trying to talk Derp into leaving his cave and getting more out into the world and interacting with people. But, you know, he is a dragon. I mean, he's probably just going to, like, fly around and decimate villages and towns.
It's what we do.
Spread misery.
A dragon's got a dragon.
I mean, maybe it's good that he's kind of just a home dragon. He likes to hang out, tinker with his miniatures, you
but
know.
Not always. I mean, Derp, it sounded like we were on the verge of hearing more about, you said, a girl dragon who was the lead singer of the number one dragon band mm-hmm. in Foon.
We knew each other for a long time. I liked her a lot, but I never said anything.
Okay.
She was, you know, I mean, obviously not too cool for me, but, like, pretty cool. And
nice backhanded compliment.
I was cool. I think a lot of people thought I was cool, maybe cooler than sometimes I felt. And then one time we were just, we were together with a bunch of other dragons. And I don't know, I just felt bold. I asked her out. She said yes. We went to the dragon hole, like everybody did then.
Is that? No, go ahead.
And then at the end of the night, you know, I tried to entwine tails with her as was the custom. And, you know, she entwined tails with me, but I could just tell there was something not, she just wasn't that into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I withdrew my tail because I don't want to entwine tails with somebody that doesn't want to entwine tails with me.
Of course.
And she said that she, you know, liked me a lot, but... And from that point on, for my own self-preservation, I had to self-isolate. I couldn't feel those feelings ever again. And then...
Yeah, that's dating. You went on a mediocre date. That's a date. That's just a date.
Well, and then...
Well, to him, it was the twine of his life.
She and all the rest then flew off beyond the sea. So, you might go on a lot of dates, but that's not the dragon way.
Well, very well, then. I suppose there's naught we can do for thee. I do wish I could bring some happiness and love into your life again, but if you're determined to die here sad and alone, I suppose there's naught we can do but wait. And then, once we're out of the shattering, we'll find him and we'll slay him ourselves and take all of his wonderful riches.
Shh! Wait, you said all this time you've been pretending to try to help this dragon... to try to get him out of his cave, but really, you just want his riches?
No, I wasn't pretending. If he turned to the side of good, I wouldn't try to slay him, but, you know, I'm an adventurer, too, of sorts, and I go forth. I'm not some good fair knight who goes on quests such as they are required to do by their liege, but I, from time to time, have assisted a county or a hamlet besieged by a dragon, yay.
Chunt.
Yeah.
I just figured it out.
No need to whisper.
They can't hear me. I'm sure of it. Usidor,
why can't I hear them?
Did you see how Usidor was eyeing all those carts? Like, Usidor's really into those carts. If we talk Derp into leaving his cave, Usidor is going to get those carts, and he won't fucking stop talking about them. We're going to have to deal with him talking about the carts all the time.
A wizard with a collection is the worst thing in Foon.
I know. Just another thing for him to list endlessly.
All they wanted... can I show you this? Hey, can I show you this? Did you see this? Fucking no. Okay, we have to... What's the game plan, Arnie?
I think... Oh, just follow my lead. Derp, you know what? I think you're good. I think you got to keep on keeping on, and you got to do you, you know? You got to...
Derp, oo-do. Oo-do. You do you.
This has been an extremely annoying experience, this talking rock, and you have gotten me to remember all these sad memories and... Your asshat friend has coveted my carts.
What? I'm not coveting your carts. I just want that Thunderbird.
You know, and we take this feedback seriously, but if you could still put that on Apple Podcasts as a review. Like, honestly, even, like, negative reviews still help. I guess you probably don't know how to. If you ever find like an iPhone amongst your chirping rocks, which one of them sounded like it, maybe if you find your way to Apple Podcasts, it always helps to rate, review, and subscribe.
Computer, what is Apple Podcasts?
I'm not sure.
Sorry, my talking stone has never heard of them.
Can you ask the computer if it's ever heard of Hello from the Magic Tavern?
Computer, what is Hello from the Magic Tavern?
Hello from the Magic Tavern is an improvised comedy podcast hosted and produced by Arnie Niekamp.
Lies!
The podcast is set in the fictional world of Boom, a magical realm where a fictionalized version of Niekamp is trapped after falling through a dimensional rift in Chicago.
What?
Niekamp and his co-hosts, a wizard named Usador the Blue, and a shapeshifter, chuck interview various magical creatures at the Bermuda Minotaur Tavern.
What the fuck?
We don't chunt interview.
Wait, a fictionalized version of Niekamp?
Wait a
fictionalized
second.
Version of Niekamp? Fuck
is
this.
Is this why no one has been coming to try to save me? Think this is fiction?
That's exactly
you lied
right.
To us.
What? Chunt, you think he's lying?
Well, it said a fictionalized version of Arnie. Arnie, have you been lying to us? Is this all fun and games for you?
I mean, putting things on formerly iTunes, now Apple Podcasts is not easy. Maybe I put the wrong tag on or something, which is easy to do. I meant to tag it serious documentary news important.
Wait. Oh,
those no. are real tags, right?
Wait, answer me this, and you better not lie to me because you're my best friend. Did they mean fictionalized Arnie in terms of, like, you're not the real Arnie, you're playing a character? Or did they mean that you're an Arnie with fictional eyes? And you're wearing some sort of cover over your eyes.
Chunt, I think it's neither. I think it's neither.
I should say that a lot of these stones gaslight me constantly. They say all kinds of crazy things that I know to be false. But they sound true, sound just true enough that...
Okay. I believe it. I once had a stone scream brown sugar at me for an hour and a fucking half. Mm.
And I don't know why you'd play a fictional character on a podcast. It would do nothing for your career.
Look, I think what we've learned in the last hour is that we should all safely retreat back into our own self-delusions. Derp's got his cards.
That's fine with me.
I got my podcast. Usador's got whatever bullshit he's been talking about for 5 years.
I shan't retreat into any fictional nonsense. I shall continue on my quest to save the entire world.
Oh, and I should ask, Derp, would you like to join Usador's quest?
I mean, honestly, this is more conversation than I've had with anyone except for these magic stones in 450 years. And it's been nice.
Oh,
just to, you know, have some company, some people to show my cards to. Not that I want to have it happen again or ever, but
hey,
I don't
we'll know. Take nice. I know that compliments kill you, so for you to say this was nice, I mean,
yeah,
that means the world to
nice-ish.
Us.
Nice-ish. I mean, if you...
Okay, now you're walking it back.
If you're...
Well, you know what, Derp? You seem to have your life that you're comfortable with. Who are we to come in and shove you out of it, you know?
I see that you're trying to do right by me. I mean, I know it's not easy.
Oh, thanks, Derp.
Yeah.
Well, you know, do you mind if, like, we check in on you again sometime? Like, not anytime soon, but, you know.
A couple thousand years?
A couple thousand years. We'll just check in to see how you're doing. Just make sure that the takeout containers haven't piled up too high.
If you wanted to come see the carts... I guess.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I can't wait to come see the car.
I'm not sure about him, though. I think Gas Hat's got to wait out on the trail.
Derp, none of us are sure about him.
You heard it directly from the all-knowing computer, folks. Fictional. No need to ever again say, computer, tell me about Foon.
Foon is a real place that occupies the 37th plane of existence.
What is that doing on? Pay no attention to that.
Foon is totally real. Why do you keep lying about it?
Okay, putting that to sleep. That's a computer I left on the give me wrong information setting. Ignore it.
Wait, no, I think I used to be alive.
No, you're not. Why would you say that? Where were we? Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Sea Wolf was played by Adol Refai. Derp the Dragon was played by special guest John Roderick from the band The Long Winters. John also has several podcasts he makes, including Roderick on the Line, Roadwork, Omnibus with Ken Jennings, and Friendly Fire. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adol Rafai. Do all of them pull their weight equally? Oh, if Slack private chat rooms could talk. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Earwolf producer Kimmy Lucas. This episode edited by Anna Haverman. Special assistance by Ryan DeGiorgi. Hello from the Magic Tavern logo by Allard Leban. Magic Tavern theme by Andy Poland.
Please just tell me, was I a FedEx delivery person who you trapped in a computer because I said your cape looked tacky?
Of course not. I would be incapable of that kind of cruelty.
Well, no regrets because that is one tacky-ass cape, dude.
Well, in that case, you can just stay in there. I might even shove you in an iPod Nano.
Bring it on.